I'm going to be preaching about what it means to be born of God. We know that people must be born again. And as I, in my study of the Bible, I realized that there's different births in the Bible. And I want to talk about what it is to be born of God. Now let's go to John chapter 1. Well, Steve, can you just tell me when there's 5 minutes? I don't have a... John chapter 1 and verse 12. Let me just read it for you. It says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." Even to them that believe on his name. So it says, as many as received Jesus, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Now that word "receive" there, in the Greek, it means to grab a hold of something with the purpose to use it. Okay. Just focus on what I say, because it is very important. He says, as many as grabbed a hold of Jesus, with a purpose to use Jesus, they have the power. That word "power" in the Greek is the word "authority." They have the authority to receive the very being of God. Amen. Now we want the being of God to live in us, isn't it? Amen. So let me explain it to you. Let's read verse 13 and then I'll explain it better. So he says, "But as many as received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. These are those that believe on his name." Now it explains in verse 13 what it is. "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God." So a person can be born of blood. You can be born of the will of the flesh. You can be born of the will of a man. Or you can be born of God. So God says here, the people that has the authority to say, the life that I live today originates from God. These are the people that made use of Jesus. Not the people that make use of the will of the flesh. Okay, so you can be born of God. You can have a holy life because of your belief in Jesus. Or you can be born of the will of man. You can have a holy life because you are using your willpower. Okay. Let's take, you know, in South Africa, we've got an organization called the AA.
South Africa,
it stands for Alcoholic Anonymous. It is an organization that helps people to change their life from being alcoholics to normal people. Now, say a man has got an alcohol problem. Then he will go to this organization, they will send him there. And they have got a 12-step plan. And then they teach this person to be free from alcohol. And then he will be set free. He will come home after 2 months. He will not drink anymore. He will not swear anymore. You'll find he will love his wife now. He will live a very good life. Now, this organization is not a Christian organization. It is just an organization that helps drunk people. And the wife will say, you know, my husband has been born again. You know, he was a very big sinner. He was drinking. He was sleeping with other women. He was never spending time with the children. He was never at home. He was this type of a man. He went to the AA. He comes back. He's a brand new man. I see somebody living now in him. He's new. He does not drink anymore. He spends time with the children. He loves me. He's not with the friends every day. Truly, that old man has died now. I'm seeing a new man. He's born again. But he's not born of God. He's born of the AA. He's a son of the AA. His life has changed. He lives a holy life. But he's born of the willpower of a man. He's not born of God. And the problem that I found in the church is that we make children of our willpower doctrine. People come as sinners to our churches. We preach the behavior modification message. They change their behavior. They live a good life. But they're born of you. They're not born of God. Do you see verse 13? It says there. In verse 13. You can be born of the will of a man. The Jewish people understood that they were children of God because of blood. I'm a Jew. I'm born in the right nation. Therefore, I am a child of God. The Jews understood that if you use your willpower and you obey the law, the holy life that comes forth in you, they said that was born of God. But God says, the holy life that comes forth in a man, when he uses his willpower to live holy, he does not have the authority of God to say, I'm born of God. Only those who grab the hold of Jesus with a purpose to make use of Jesus, they have the power to say that the new life that comes forth in me because of the revelation of Jesus Christ and what He's done, that finds its origin in God. Now, if we go to the book of Genesis chapter 3, you will see, I'm not going to read there, the time is too short. But in Genesis 3, after they sinned, you find that God comes to Satan. And He says, I will bring enmity between your seed and her seed. So there's two seeds. The seed of Satan and the seed of God. The seed of God is Jesus Christ. The seed of Satan. Oh, I cannot even say it. It will shock. Let me first explain before I say what the seed of Satan is. Know this, there's a seed of Satan and there's a seed of God. If a woman wants to fall pregnant and she wants to have a child, she needs a man, then she needs a seed from that man. When that seed enters her, that seed will form a child, and that child will be born of the seed of that man. Okay. Making that man the father. Now in John chapter 8, there was the Jesus, and he was speaking to the Pharisees. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, now remember, the Pharisees lived holy. They weren't drunkards. They were not drunkards. They weren't idolaters. They prayed every day. They fasted twice a week. They paid their tithes. They were the type of people you wish your congregation would be like them. Obedient even in clothing. Following the scriptures very strictly. Whenever you seek the Pharisee, you find him is reading the Bible. He dedicated his life to the Bible. Jesus comes to them and he said to the Pharisee, you are born from your father the devil. So the Pharisee lived a very good life. But the seed that was in him that gave him the good life, it was from the devil.
My God.
They used willpower to serve God. They did not believe in the mercy of God. They believed in the judgment of God, in the punishment of God. They believed in the fear of God. But they were living a holy life. Later on in Matthew 23, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You snakes, why? Because their father is that snake of the Garden of Eden." He says, "You will do the thing your father does. You will want to kill me. Why? Because the seed of death is inside them." Now, what is the seed of death? Open your Bibles. Everybody, open your Bible. 2 Corinthians,
chapter 3.
2 Corinthians, chapter 3.
2 Corinthians, chapter 3.
So why did Jesus call them snakes? Why did he say that their father is the devil? Because the word of the devil was in them. What was the word of the devil? Steve explained it here. If you want to be like God, know what is right and wrong. You just do the right thing, you'll be like God. So the word that Satan preached was the word of what you must do to be like God. The word that God preached to Adam and Eve was, "You are already like God." So the word that says you are not, you need to become, was the word of the devil. The word says, who I am is who you are, is the word of God. Remember, the Bible says the sower went to sow some seed. That seed is the word of God. But then the enemy came and sowed another seed, which is another word, which is another gospel, which is not the gospel of grace, but the gospel of works. And when you're born of the gospel of works, you cannot call and say God is what gave birth to this life. Romans, 2 Corinthians 3 there.
2 Corinthians chapter 3.
Verse 7. But if the ministry of death, okay, the ministry of death that was written on stones. Are you reading there? If the ministry of death written on stones. Okay, what was written on stones that you know about? The law of Moses. It brings forth death. So the Pharisees, Jesus said, they are sitting in Moses' seat. Their belief is in obedience to the law unto salvation. God says, your father is the devil. Because the end of that thing is condemnation. judgment, guilt, and rejection. Not rest. Amen. In the other sessions, I'm going to talk about where the law comes from, that you can know. But God clearly says here that, and remember in the beginning, God says, I'll make enmity between your seed and her seed. Now he comes in Romans 8. He says there's enmity between the mind of the flesh. And the mind of grace or the mind of the spirit. So the fleshly mind. Now remember, flesh in the Bible does not talk about sins. It talks about justification by the law. Because the Jews were circumcised in the flesh. They took the foreskin of a man and cut it off. It was circumcised in the flesh. And they believed because they did that, they are children of God. And the fleshly mind was the mind that puts its trust in what happened in my flesh and all the laws that's with it. Are you understanding me? So all the people that found a new life born out of that law cannot say, I'm born of God. So we want the people in our churches' lives to find its birth of God. Our vision is not to get our people to live holy. Our vision is that our people can find a relationship with God. And then God will give birth to a new person. Amen. Now it says here, how many minutes, Steve? 10. Now it says here that those who are born of God are those who believed on the name of Jesus. You know, now what does the name of Jesus mean? You know, we've made the name of Jesus the thing you say at the end of your prayer to make sure it's going to work. We pray a lot of nonsense. In the end we say, in the name of Jesus. Then it's the magic word has been spoken. And when you speak that magic word, then God's very happy. That's not what the name of Jesus means. It's not a magic word. When Jesus was born, God said, you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. So the name of Jesus means your innocence. Next session I'm going to talk about the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. So when I pray in the name of Jesus, I pray in the authority of my innocence, because he took my sin away. Now those who received Jesus, those who received the message that says, I am innocent because of his obedience. Out of them will come a new life. Those people has got the right to say, this life I live now is born of God. We don't want to be agents of Satan in the name of Jesus under the authority of a pastor. I made many disciples when I was under the law. They were born of fear. They were not born of God. They were born of the fear of hell. I had people giving money to my ministry. They were giving of fear of poverty. They were not giving because of a love for the gospel. Their giving was not a result of the revelation of innocence in Jesus Christ. Their giving was a result of wanting something from God. Responding to the voice of Satan, that's like Steve explained. You lack holiness. So do these five things, then you can be holy.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
How many of my messages has been geared to make people feel they need my ministry? And without my secret revelation, then they cannot have anything to do with God. Amen. And I preach the condemnation. I looked at people's works all the time, and that could not give birth to the God kind in their life. If we want to be born of God, if you want the way you preach to be born of God, if you want the way you love people to find its origin in God, make use of your innocence in Jesus Christ. Can you go into your room, look into the mirror and say, I stand 100% innocent all the time before God? Not just with words, but with a deep revelation of, I am and feel innocent because of the perfection of Jesus. I love what Steve said last night. When you are guilty and you owe a man money, you will even wash his car, you will clean his toilet, you'll do very good works. But God's not the father of the work. Guilt is the father of the good work. And I want to encourage you, leaders. We have got the ministry of God. What is the ministry we all have? One day a man came to me, a lady came to me and said to me, "What ministry do you have?" But it was a trick question. I said, "No, I am an evangelist." She says, no, you are wrong. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, we have the ministry of reconciliation. To witness that God is not imputing our trespasses against us. So what's the ministry we all have? Our ministry is to tell the whole world that God is not imputing their trespasses against them. Paul didn't preach that to the church, he preached that to the world. He told the world, you don't have to be afraid of God. You don't have to have a holy life born from fear. God does not impute your trespasses against you. And he has given Jesus as your holiness. Jesus is your holiness. He's your righteousness. Believe this, and the Holy Spirit will give you a new life. That is the gospel of Jesus. I end off with this. The gospel is not the gospel or the message of what we must do for God. If that was the gospel, it would have been the gospel of mankind. We have got the gospel of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Which is what God did to save you. The message in our churches cannot be a message of what man must do to be saved. It must be the message of what God has done to save us. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes. I want you right there where you are to say these words in the depth of your heart. Just in your heart you say, you don't, not with your mouth, in your heart you say, "His innocence is my holiness." In your heart you say these words, "As from today I'm not making use of my willpower. I'm making use of His holiness as my holiness." You're making use of His work to make you holy. I declare to you today that you are innocent by the work of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.